tell you what I'm going to do, and then later on I'm telling you what happened. And so this is the what happened for 2021. And if you notice here, it's youth engagement with crisis stabilizers. We have been working with engagement as a concept for the last 3 performance improvement projects. The first one was related to our resource and referral line in terms of engagement. The second was about focus on care coordinators and engagement as it related to a warm handoff from screeners to care coordinators and their teams. And this one is actually related to crisis stabilizers. Now, one might think that crisis stabilizers, just by definition, are their focus is on engagement, which it is. But the belief was that everybody can always improve on their engagement process. And as you'll see as I go through the presentation, it couldn't have come at a better time, given that this study was conducted in the middle of COVID, in the middle of tremendous amount of isolation. And so the challenge of engaging with youth was significant. So the goal of this research is the program of personal engagement with youth through crisis stabilization. And the research design and process, as you can see, and I think you've seen this before, was to use an experimental research design that looked at possible cause and effect of relationship between the use of specific engagement strategies and some dependent variables, which is what we were measuring ultimately, was the average number of contacts and the duration of the contacts as defined as engagement. The more someone is engaged, the more contacts they have, and certainly the more amount of time they spend with youth if there's an engagement happening. So it was in two phases. Phase one is where formal training was given to crisis stabilizers around specific concepts, which were related to relationship building, basic needs, and what was the third one? Safe crisis and safety. And phase two was creating group cohorts where we discussed engagement strategies and issues. And as part of the PDSA cycle, I also introduced bucket 5, which was related to personal self-care as something that was identified as possibly needed. So essentially that was the research design. The study questions, which again you've also seen before, not that you know, but let me review them anyway, is the introduction of the buckets. Now these buckets were designed by a team of management people as well as care coordinators and consultants to identify areas of some best practices around, or some strategic ideas around engagement. And we created these buckets related to different ideas, essentially. So the first one, again, was basic needs, problem and conflict resolution was basic 4, and building relationship was basic 2. And what the intent was as follows, is that if indeed through this direct instruction, we could enhance the number of contacts as well as the duration of contacts through 2 phases at a 5% and a 10% level respectively. In phase 2, the use of focused discussion groups as well as review of the bucket strategies again, and then finally introducing bucket 5 would give you even a greater increase with greater than 10 equal or greater than 10% of the number of contacts, and a 15% increase from baseline of the duration of the contacts. Okay, so essentially what happened is that we started this research study right in the middle of COVID. It kind of started, COVID started, and then we were about to start. First, we delayed it by a month to kind of regroup a little bit, and then from there, we went ahead and proceeded to train, to provide training to group crisis stabilizers. But what was important to realize, and we started taking some data as it related to that, that the number of youth served began to decrease from baseline all the way to phase two. The crisis stabilizers, the number that were had been with us for at least 6 months and had the correct certifications, also decreased from 162 to 123 during that period of time through the phases. And the caseload average obviously went up because there were not enough crisis stabilizers to meet the needs of youth. So if you can see here at the although the number of youth decreased, what you see here is that from phase one to phase two, the number of crisis stabilizers were outpacing the decrease. So the number of, even though there was a decrease in youth, the number of crisis stabilized could not keep up with it. They were also decreasing at a faster rate. And you can see at this rate, it was at 18.5 in phase one to phase two. Baseline to phase two, it was for 24% decrease in caseload as well. Okay? Next. So the first study question was the number of youth contacts across the phases. And what we got as an outcome is in fact there was a decrease in the number of contacts. Not a good sign for the study itself, but let's interpret this data. So the external variables related to COVID were so outside the characteristic influences of variables that we could not control. So essentially what we had is we were one of the examples of what was coined the Great Resignation, in which 33 million Americans quit their jobs in the spring of 2021. And so there were fewer crisis stabilizers, it increased the caseload, it decreased the number of contacts. And so from baseline to phase one, the data revealed an 8.5 decrease in contacts, and from baseline to phase two, a 23.8% decrease in contacts. The other limitation we have as it related to COVID is the limited platforms for communication. Prior to COVID, youth would be met in with their crisis stabilizer in schools, community, at home, a whole variety of places, a lot of flexibility, face-to-face contacts. In phase one, as you can see, they connected primarily by phone, so there wasn't even a face-to-face contact. And only 4.6% were using, and 4.8 in phase two were using video to engage with youth. So again, that created a situation where it's not surprising the amount of contacts went down. Okay, the number of contacts, so, wrong here, hold on. Okay. So when we looked at the duration of youth contacts across the phases, interestingly enough, it went from 1.92 at baseline all the way up to 2.25 through phase one and then to phase two. So what can we make from this? Okay, the first thing is the amount of time crisis stabilizers spent with youth increased over the course of the study. 16.1% increase from baseline to phase one, which exceeded the threshold that we had identified of 10%. and then 17.1 increase from baseline to phase two, surpassing the identified 15% threshold. Okay? So the outcome supports a basic premise that when youth and crisis stabilizers are engaging and relating, that the time spent is most meaningful, which contributes to an increased duration of time interacting. So then I went to compare the frequency versus duration outcomes and to see how they laid out. And if you can see, you're comparing the data, and you can see here that this is the number of contacts and this is the duration of the contacts. And actually, we got a negative correlation of 0.87, which is a very high negative correlation, suggesting that kind of confirms that the number of times that crisis stabilizers met with youth decreased from baseline through phase two was compensated with longer meeting times. And as you can see, it just, the gap got wider and wider, but as we move through. So compensating with longer meeting times would not have been successful if a strong engagement was not present, especially when there is a high percentage of total remote communications by phone and video rather than person to person. In phase two, we introduced focus group discussions. I met with all six agencies that were involved in the crisis stabilization agencies that were involved in the study. I met with them three times each, so a total of 18 different focus group discussions. And each time I met, the focus was on a different topic. First we reviewed the strategies that the buckets and the strategies in them, and talked about which ones were used. People were sharing that kind of information, and then essentially I asked the question, please share your successes, was session one. Session two was please share your challenges, and session three was please share the engagement that you're having with your family as a whole. All right. As my comment here, session two challenges seem to be the most powerful ones. They led to a lot of conversation. It allowed for people to share their failures in a safe environment. And I say the failures because that's how they perceive them as failures. But that being said, they left feeling, this happens to everybody, number one. And on top of that, there are more things that could have been tried. Okay. This is the summary of the focus group discussions. These were the trigger questions for each, for session one, session two, and session three. And I coded the themes that were identified. When we talked about successes, people talked about engagement techniques and the needs of youth and how to help them through that process, what their needs might be. In session two, the themes were awareness of the problem, ideas to succeed when there are problems. And so this is where there was a lot of contribution from others in the room. And lastly, I'm sorry you cannot see the whole screen here, but the themes were family constellation, family background, and approaches to addressing families, and lots of suggestions about how the important, number one, underscoring the importance of connecting with families as well as part of the crisis stabilization model, as well as approaching and addressing families and how to do that in consort with your youth as well. This is also where I introduced the bucket five, which addressed self-care, as well as helping the family care for themselves as well. Okay, so impact of COVID. First was the impact of isolation on the youth. the actual engagement training that had been developed prior to COVID was modified to include an understanding of the impact of the isolation of COVID on youth in general, and more specifically with the youth experiencing mental health concerns. The challenging of using virtual platforms to engage with youth, what was particularly notable is the 47.8% usage of phones during phase one, which made engagement the most challenging. It also may explain why the usage of phones dropped so significantly in phase two, when phase two things began to open up a little, and it dropped to 29.6% usage of phones. And lastly, which I already discussed, was the significant vacancies at every agency, and there was 24% drop in the number of crisis stabilizers from baseline, even though it was mitigated by a drop, a little bit by a drop in youth themselves. Okay. Conclusions. As seen in both phase one and phase two, the decrease in crisis stabilizers influenced by the external variables of COVID was the major contributor to the decrease in the amount of engagement. No training at all. No, there were no tools that could have increased the amount of engagement, that amount of contact they were having, even separate from engagement, because of there was just too few crisis stabilizers and too many needs. However, when we move to the duration of the meetings with youth, there is a real strong, the data supports that there was a real strong connection and engagement that was taking place in terms of the amount of time spent, as well as it was influenced by the formal training, by providing the tools, by the organized by topics in the buckets, which was very, people really enjoyed the focus group discussions that were held, so that in phase one and in phase two, the length of engagement increased beyond the threshold of 10%, 16% and 17% respectively. So I was really actually pretty curious, and I went beyond the study, and I wanted to see the way to measure real improvement is to see what happens after the study ends, when there's no more constant reminders through emails as part of the PDSA cycle, that there is no more additional training going on, where there's no focus groups to keep people aware and focused on engagement. So what I discovered was really very interesting is that the number of crisis stabilizers continued to drop, and it went to post-study 2 months after the study ended, where the number of crisis stabilizers dropped to 88. Again, those were the total ones that had been in the program more than 6 months, had been crisis stabilizers more than 6 months. The average number of contacts per week continued to drop, as you can see. It went from baseline of 1.76 to 1.34, and then this post-study showed it went dropped again to 1.21. However, which was a positive light, the average duration of contacts, although the from baseline to phase two had increased quite a bit, again, these are not statistically significant, but the post continued to creep up slowly, perhaps not at the same rate, but it certainly showed that there was impact from the study, from the work that was done in engagement itself. Any questions?
Hi. I'm gonna
end the slideshow here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Penita. This is Rachel Foreman. I really want to thank you. This is a very, I would say, maybe this is a bad word, but a very arresting study. I'm kind of intrigued by it, but I do have a few follow-up questions, sort of taking you beyond the study in terms of what you've presented so far. The term crisis stabilizer is new to me. If I was speaking at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, and I was trying to interest students in going into the wonderful field of social work, what would I say about crisis stabilization? Who are the people who are doing this? What are their skills? What's their experience? What are their credentials? And then I'm particularly interested in gender. What percentage of them are women, or identify as women, I guess, is a better way to ask that question.
Okay. Well, I can only give you partial answers to those. In terms of what you would, how would you describe crisis stabilizers? Crisis stabilizers are a wide variety of people, lived experience. They run through a variety. I think you do not need anything but a high school diploma to do this work, although there are many, many crisis stabilizers who are teachers, who do this part-time, who are committed to helping our youth. You don't need a master's degree. You actually don't even need a bachelor's degree, although most of them do have bachelor's degree and are professionals. They all have lived experience of one sort or another. What I cannot tell you is about the number of the gender differences between them. There are a lot of males. I'm using my own mental picture of our groups. There were a lot of males, but also a lot of females. I could certainly analyze that data pretty quickly and get back to it if you'd like to know that specifically.
Sure.
Breakdown.
Is having lived experience, does that include successfully navigated one's own crises or something like that?
Okay. Yes.
Understand.
For the most part, it doesn't necessarily have to be mental health related, but for most of them, it's trauma related of some sort. But it's not necessarily focused on mental health. This is a population that lives and works in the community that we serve.
Interesting. Impressive. Thank you.
Anyone else with questions? Any other questions from the committee or attendees? Okay. Well, Penina, thank you so much for an informative presentation. I was very pleased to hear about the area where you focused on wellness and self-care and being aware of that. Because, individuals who work in the crisis field, you kind of empty your cup real quick, but, you have to be self-aware of when you need to know how to refill it. So to see that as part of the study was very, very interesting. If I have more questions, I'm sure that I will. After I finish reading it, I will contact you, okay?
No problem.
Okay, and thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Daria.
It looks like we have one question.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Maggie, did you? You're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the first 5 minutes of the meeting. I was trying to get into it, didn't quite understand it. But my question is, where could I get more information on this crisis stabilizer position that she was talking about?
Yeah, Maggie, I can put something in the chat or email you. If you want to put your email in the chat for me, I can definitely send you something. It's a position within the Wraparound Milwaukee Provider Network.
Okay.
So we have certain agencies that provide that service within our network. But I'd be happy to share a little bit more information if you want to put your email in that chat for me.
Thank you. This forum, and I'm trying to figure it out. So as soon as I figure out here in the chat, I will put it in here.
Okay. Yes.